And welcome to Let's Do It Radio with Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks of Yakima, Washington. Today is Thursday, January 13th, and I am your hostess, Ms. Inez of Anaisaku Designs, and we have a great show in store for our listeners today. And if you would like to call in, please do so at 845-241-9985. As we play the song, Glory. On December 21st, 2021, Sharon Salisbury Frazier, owner and founder and the brains of Let's Do It Radio and Do It All in the Mall, which has over 5,000 stores online, passed away. A Blog Talk Radio memorial service was held in her honor, which can be accessed and listened to from the homepage of doitallinthemall.com under Let's Do It Radio. And we want to have a pause for a moment of silence on behalf of her memory. Thank you. Now we're going to have Glory by Tasha Cobbs live at the Passion City Church.
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord,
gotta be where you are. One more time. Wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are.
Yes. And on the eve of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, January the 15th, today's show, we will revisit Dr. King's dream and pose the questions. Is there justice and equity for all people? Why are we still marching? I'd like to bring on, I call him Reverend Dr. Sergeant James Parks out of Yakima, Washington. And you have a stellar lineup of guests today. So please introduce these wonderful guests, if you would go ahead and do that, sir. First, greet us, of course, you know. But.
Okay, well, you know, thank you, Inez, and everybody, you need to give Inez an applause. And thank you again, sister, for stepping up to the plate after
you're welcome.
Sister Sharon passed away, we wouldn't have been able to keep this going without you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know,
it's
been a pleasure for me to work with all of the guests that's going to be on today. I think that Dr. King would be really proud of this group of selfless people and stuff that go above and beyond to help improve the lives of people. So I've been in the trenches with all of them and stuff. So before I actually start to giving the guests a designation or whatever, let's listen to I Have a Dream speech by Dr. King.
Not a problem. Thank you.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom, and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Yes. Come on now. Yes, yes, yes.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when we gather, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Yes, 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 yes. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. And if anybody has any comments and is listening in, you can call in at 845-241-9985. Again, that's 845-241-9985 to join in the conversation. It's in your hands, Sergeant Parks.
Okay, today we're going to have five outstanding guests. I've been in the trenches with them. I'm going to do a little roll call right now because somebody just texted me and said that they couldn't get in. So let's find out who that is before we get the show going. Okay.
Okay.
My first guest is...
Go ahead.
Okay, my first guest is Mr. Anthony Peterson. He is the CEO, interim CEO. I'm going to call him CEO of OIC of Washington. That's Opportunities Industrialization Center of Washington, the largest OIC in America. OIC has supported the MLK events for 37 years. In fact, along with the Reverend Trimble and Mr. Beauchamp, they started this march here, and it's been going ever since. So, congratulations, AP. If you're on the phone, AP, congratulations. Can you get a brother a job?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for the introduction, Mr. Parks, and I'm so blessed and privileged to be here today. So thank you. And
thank
Mr.
You,
Parks,
thank
you know, you got
you,
it whenever you need it.
Okay, man. Okay, my next guest is Reverend Robert Trimble. He got so many accolades. Forgive me, Father, for I'm not going to be able to give all your accolades out at this time because of time. But he is the co-chair of the MLK Planning Committee from day one, 37 years. He's a retired pastor of Mount Hope Baptist Church in Yakima. He's a community activist. He's a former president of Yakima County NAACP.
All right.
My next guest is Reverend Willie Pride. Pastor Pride is a pastor of Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church in Yakima. He's a community activist. He is also a former president of Yakima County NAACP. Now, that's y'all ask me where I've been. I've been in the trenches with all these people and stuff, so, you know, that's where you go. And, by the way, get a membership if you don't have one. He's also the former
pastor
of Everlasting Missionary Baptist Church for 37 years. Mm. He's a transplant from Vancouver, Washington. So we love you, Reverend Pride.
God bless
you. Stay the course.
And before you go. Hold on, Brother Price, before you go. And what is his last four of his telephone number? What's the last four of Pastor Price's telephone number?
970.
Okay, thank you. I got that.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so this next sister, she is really, really, really heavy. Her name is Madam President, NAACP, and her bio reads like, we got to take a minute, okay, here. So, Ms. Risha Crosby is a Nashville, Tennessee native who moved to Yakima, Washington in 2002. So she knows what's going on here in the valley, I'm telling you. She is on the morning radio co-host station. She's also the station manager, a digital journalist, a talent judge, and a philanthropist. Go ahead on, sister.
Okay.
She is currently a member of the National Association of Black Journalists, Society of Professional Journalists, Junior League of Yakima, Sustainer, and a trustee and art committee member for the Washington State Governor's Mansion. Okay? Risha is a past board president of the YWCA in Yakima, board member of the Yakima Schools Foundation, former student government Senate ambassador at Yakima Valley College. In 2021, Emerge Washington Cohort alum. And her role this week in being on this show is to give some insight in what is the NAACP doing, and then what are you doing, sister? How can you keep up with all this stuff that you're doing? Okay? You got a little girl, your little girl about the same age as is my grandkid. How you keep up with it and stuff, that's what I don't know. But she's doing an outstanding job. She's doing an outstanding job. Okay, the next sister
welcome.
Is Ms. Dulce Gutierrez. Did she make it on the line? Dulce?
I don't know. I don't have her number, so I don't know.
Okay. Hopefully she'll get in. She had some problems getting in, and that was my fault. Because y'all know I'm challenged when it comes to giving numbers and stuff out like that. Man, can't let me be giving out no numbers. Okay. But I'm going to get her bio anyway. Dulce Gutierrez was born and raised in East Yakima. She graduated from the University of Washington with a Bachelor's of Arts. After graduating from UW, Dulce turned to Yakima and immediately became active in the community. She's been that way ever since. I'm not talking about just Yakima, all up and down the valley. She's organizing and stuff and doing things. She's also a member of NACP. Bless you, girl. Served in local politics in November 2015. She won election to serve on the Yakima City Council. She was the first Mexican-American ever elected to represent Northeast Yakima. Now, that's my barrio, okay, as a council member. She's 26 years old. Later in 2017, she was elected unanimously by council members, colleagues, to serve a two-year term as assistant mayor. That position never been held by Hispanic, period, okay? But she spearheaded that for Yakima. During a team in public office, Dulce challenged the status quo. She didn't let them get away with nothing. They want to send all the money west. This young lady single-handedly made them give that money back to these districts, these poor districts and stuff. Now that she's gone, they just trying to have their way. Dulce did not run for re-election in 2019, choosing instead to recruit and mentor other people of interest. And hopefully she gets to join us. So what we're gonna do, right? This is the way this is gonna go down. We're gonna listen to this clip with Danny Glover. He's crying over the speech that Dr. King made. Then we're gonna come back, and I'm gonna pose a question to everybody. You can keep it brief, but tell us what you're doing. Okay, I think it's important for the audience to know. I think that we probably got people in about 12 states on the line right now, you know, want to hear from you guys why you guys are still marching, and then why, okay, what are we doing to kind of like succeed in the dream? Okay, so let's play that clip.
Mr. Parks, hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Parks, this is Esther Huey. I'm on the line.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Miss Huey. You're always welcome. This lady needs no introduction. She actually needs no introduction and stuff. I have worked with her since retiring in the military and then coming to Yakima in many, 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 many different community spots. Her diligence and her steadfastness in accomplishing things that ordinary people just don't accomplish in a conservative society, okay, and getting things and stuff for people that need them, that's Miss Esther Huey. She is the former CEO of Help me out, Ms. Huey. She's the former CEO of the Gang Prevention Intervention Coalition, in which she founded. She started single-handedly. And what she did was she went around to all of these indigenous and prestigious people, and I might have missaid that, you know, and got them all to come together and stuff to work on the problems and stuff of poor people in Yakima. After school program, she pied in her. She had the program, the only program, okay, that I know thus far has got the governor's Points of Light award. And she brought so many, many people together. And during that time, she almost did it without no funds. But she went somewhere and she got some funds, okay? So welcome aboard, Esther. We want your insight, as always. She's been on the show before. We want your insight in this conversation that we're going to have. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Danny, let's go to the next clip. Danny Glover is crying on this clip with over the speech that Dr. King made April the 3rd, 1968. And then we'll come back on that side, and then we'll get into our discussion.
Okay, before we do, Ms. Huey, what is the last four digits of your phone number, please?
Let's see, 96504.
Thank you. Okay. And did Dulce Gutierrez join us?
Hi.
Okay, well,
yeah.
No,
thank you so much.
Okay, hey, Dulce.
Good, thank you.
Welcome. I'm sorry. You know something? I gave you the wrong number. You know, I gave you the wrong number and stuff, which I'm doing.
Thank you so
I'm
much.
Doing quite often. Okay. But
happy to be here, Mr. Park. It's a pleasure.
Hey,
thank you
for everything that you're doing, the redistricting deal piece of what you're doing after the city council has brought the light. Well, you brought the chickens home to roost. Okay. You dispel everything that they're trying to do in those districts and stuff. And that is just clearly try to make sure that the people, the majority of the people in the district, don't get their own say. You know?
Hmm.
So, sister, thank you and welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's do this clip.
Okay.
And there's on Danny Glover.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
April 3rd, 1968.
Thank you.
We're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. Let's play a little bit of sound from his final speech in Memphis when he was there on behalf of sanitation workers striking against the city. This is one part of it. Arden, will you play that?
Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights.
Somewhere I read. That was a frequent use of rhetoric by Dr. Martin Luther King to remind the country of its founding documents, what they said, and how they must manifest themselves for all Americans. Correct?
Yeah.
How do you react when you hear that?
Yeah.
He broke up, y'all. He crying.
I was in Memphis yesterday at the chapel where he last spoke. I'm talking to Bill Lucy, who was one of the primary negotiators with AFSCME, the American Federation of
County
and State Employees and everything else. And he pointed out where he was sitting when he said those words. And he says, sometimes he wakes up at night crying and asks himself, what if this had happened, not happened here? What if this had not happened? Mm-hmm. And I think we both kind of like started the well up yesterday in Memphis as we sat there, because it's always a what if. And just from the vantage point, it was someone's, just his voice. Can you imagine someone has the power with his voice, his oratory, I remember his speeches. If I could have been in Egypt, if I could have been at the Roman Empire, if I could have been in all these other places, the moment was here. He was always in the present. He was always in the present. I don't think that there's anyone who forced himself and pushed us into the present, struggled with his own consciousness, and pushed us, kept pushing us to the present, not as a dreamer, but as a realist, not as someone who was removed from the what was happening with real people, somebody engaged. Remember that moment before he was there in Memphis, he was talking to sharecroppers in Alabama and telling them, they're saying to them, you know, we're going to Washington, this poor people, Mark, and we're going to work with you and work on your behalf.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it, Brother Parks.
That's it. That's profound.
He was tore up.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now what we need to do is, Inez, do you have any comment that you want to make about the topic? Is there justice and equality for all people? And why in the heck are we still marching?
I'm going to say no. I mean, you know, there seems like there's these people and then there's these other people. So, no, it's not, you know, the Constitution says one nation under God. No, we're not one nation. We're a divided nation, divided by different sectors. So I have to say, no, there's not justice and equity for all, equality, equity, however you want to say it. There's not. We as African Americans, black people, Negroes, whatever you want to call us, we have to fight harder for what we do, you know, shine brighter for what we do. We have to go over and above and beyond to get noticed and to get what we need to get for what we do. And so even as women, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, you know, Hispanic or whatever, you always have to work harder. Why do you have to work hard if you have the same job as your counterpart? That just doesn't sit well with me. If I'm sitting in a chair right next to my coworker and we're doing the same job, but yet you're getting more than me and I've been here longer than you, how does that work? How does that work? And that has happened to me. And so I know the fact that, no, there's not justice and equity and fraud. But why are we still marching? Because we're trying to make a way. But, it, you know, our feet might get calloused and what have you. But we're just going to have to keep on marching, you know, until our feet fall off, our shoes fall off, whatever. But one day it may, you know, change, but we just have to keep on keeping on.
Thank you. Thank you, Inez. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go to Mr. Peterson. Mr. Peterson, from day one, when you set foot in OIC to start working up there, a lot of things start to happen, okay? I think that your grant writing abilities and then your leadership is on point. And don't get me wrong, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to give you no big head and stuff, but you got some big shoes. You got some big shoes that you have to step in, man. You know, but you got a supporting cast, okay? And you got my ear. I know you got the Reverend ear. I know you got Miss Huey's ear, and everybody and stuff that's on this line. I know you got their ear and stuff. So, you know, what are your thoughts? Are we there yet? Why are you still marching?
Well, first, like you mentioned, I want to also just reiterate I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, and I'm in such a unique place to continue to learn from these local giants, including yourself. Miss Huey, Reverend Trimble, Pastor Pride, Pastor Jones, you know, Eric Silver. So I think it's first and foremost upon me to sit and listen to history, to their experience, to the successes and the triumphs and the challenges that they've overcome in this local community and beyond, and then take that and embody that and apply the lessons learned, the methods and the strategies to overcome the challenges that they faced in their day and to continue to face, and use that to overcome some of the issues that we continue to face, and hopefully the younger generation after me won't have to face. You know, I think the reason why we continue to march and fight is because racism at some point has become covert. It's more of a thought process, more of a policy process rather than overt racism, and it continues to plague our communities in education, in employment, in housing, in every sector of life where you can try to be self-sufficient and prosperous. We have challenges that block those, that prevent us from being equal and getting equitable opportunities. So, So I truly believe, and I'll defer the rest of my time to some of these giants I spoke of earlier, but I truly believe it starts with self-efficacy. We need to empower our folks, their minds first, to stop saying the word like sorry for existing, for stop being apologetic for their existence, for stop clamming up. Let's exercise our voices, because at the point where Dr. Martin Luther King and some of these prominent figures who've gone and passed on before us, they didn't have a seat at the table. That's what they were marching for. Now we have a seat at the table. Now we have to use our voice. We have to stand up. We have to speak with pride and with understanding, you know, and not be ashamed or apologetic for what we believe in and speak about. So that's the reason why the dream continues, and that's the reason why I still march, because like Mr. Park said, we got big shoes to fill, and we got work to do still. So with that, I will yield my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. Okay, let's go to Miss Dolce. No, let's go to Reverend Trimble. Now, what you guys don't know about Reverend Trimble is that Reverend Trimble marched with Dr. King. So he's been around the corner. He's been around the block a couple of times. Okay? Reverend Trimble, if Dr. King was here today, what would he be saying to us?
Well, Dr. King, Martin Luther King Jr. was not a quitter, and he wasn't a phony leader. He would be telling us the legacy that the civil rights movement started. He would be telling us to continue on, because the fight is not over. We have a taste of freedom physically, but somehow we have allowed our mental enslavement to hinder us. So he would be encouraging us to never to give up hope, never to doubt our task. And our task is to never allow another man or another person to enslave another person. He would be telling us to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
As he once said, a man dies when he refused to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refused to take a stand for that which is true. And when we look out at our society today, and especially in politics, we're trying to turn the progress that we have made, trying to stop it and turn back. As peoples of color, women, handicapped, and age, we must continue to fight on. Dr. King brought us to the river. Dr. King brought us to the river and showed us the way. But we must teach our young people how to cross over on the other side. So,
right.
I'm happy that we have come this far. I realize that there's a lot needs to be done. I'm not in it for fame. I'm not in it for any pat on the back. I'm in it because it's the human thing to do. To save our people and to move mankind to that beloved community that he talked about in his book, Where Do We Go From Here? So that's what he would be doing.
Well, thank you.
His beloved community.
thank you, Reverend. Appreciate that.
Right.
Let's go to Miss Huey, and then we'll go to Reverend Pride, Miss Gutierrez, and then we'll save Madam President for the last, because see y'all, she knows something that we don't know. Well, maybe we do, but you know, she has a special message. So, Miss Huey.
Thank you, Mr. Parks, and all of the rest of you. And I'm honored that I was asked to participate in this today. I've lived 84 years with the hope in front of me that one day we will be free, that one day we will be judged by the color, not by the color of our skins, but by the content of our character, that one day we will get to see that beloved community that Dr. King so worked hard for and so pushed us to never give up and to never lose sight, even though we have these incidents along the way that discourage us and disappoint us. We still have a responsibility to work toward equal opportunity, equal justice, social justice, all of those overt, as someone said, things that have gone on. And we have a responsibility to speak up. We have a responsibility to teach our children to speak up when they see wrong, and to be courageous and to be forceful and to stay on the front lines so that we can reach equal justice. We know in the last 4 or 5 years we have seen such extreme examples of injustice in the law system. Injustice. Our people are streaming into prisons. Our children are not completing school. I don't see how anyone can say there is equal opportunity when we see all of this destruction that's going on, that is going on among and toward African American people. And I think each one of us has a responsibility to get out there. And not just get out there and walk, and not just get out there and march, but put our money out there, because we know that it takes money to fight this battle. And we know that if we can buy a pack of cigarettes, we can take that $10 and turn it around to a move toward freedom. So we must we must strengthen our commitment. We must strengthen our work with our children if we are to save this nation and be a part of the saving of the nation. If we are to develop our future leaders, then we have to be out there. We have to set examples. We have to be courageous, and we have to speak up when we see all of the things that are going on, all of the murders. We had a murder right here in Yakima last night. It broke my heart. And that is a result of what's going on in the United States today. President Biden calls it the soul of the nation. The soul of this nation is broken. We've got to put it back together. We have got to build that beloved community that Dr. Dream foresaw. We have got to work toward equal justice. We've got to work toward equal education. And we have seen recently that when we let up on our work, then things get worse for us. The murders, the George Floyd, the Aubrey, all of those cases, they didn't have to happen. They did not have to happen. We've got to get on our job and see that they don't happen. And one of the ways to get on that job, as Anthony Peterson said, is to sit at that table. That is the most important place we could be at all times, because that's where the decisions about how we're treated take place. And we've got to have a voice in there. And we've got to make our way to that table. And when we get there, we have to be courageous enough to speak up and demand equality. I thought I would see it in these 84 years. I still believe in it, but I'm getting disappointed, more disappointed by the day. And I just plead with each one of you young leaders that are on this line to take up the mantle, get around the table, protect our children, ensure that they have a future that is equal. I thank you. So many years I've been on the battlefield. That's just like that that song says, I'm on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield for freedom. I'm on the battlefield for our children. I'm on the battlefield for our future, and I am on the battlefield for peace, equity, inclusion, and quality of life. Thank you, and I wish you all well.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Huey. Okay, I want to back the program up one point, Madam Co-host. How many calls do we have on the line?
We have about nine callers. Nine.
Okay, so I want everybody to let's sort of like be brief. I want to hear from everybody, but you know I don't want to run people away because we got some people calling from Georgia. That's my daughter calling from Georgia.
Right,
Reverend McCullough. She calling from Texas. You know. So we're gonna go there now. So you guys just bear with us for one more minute. So let's go to Reverend McCullough, and then let's get my daughter. She didn't get it from me, y'all. Believe me, she didn't get it from the dad. Okay, so let's do that, and then let's come back and get with the sequence, that I prescribed before. So please wait on.
Okay.
Let's take 2 or 3 minutes to make those comments. Thank you.
Okay, and it's Reverend Williamson, and she's from the Yakima area, not Reverend McCullough. So Reverend Williamson, would you like to say anything? And she may be driving, so she may not say anything. Reverend Carolyn Williamson? Okay. So we're going to go to Miss Laquita. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if anybody else would like to join, that number is 845-241-9985. Go ahead with your comments on today's topic.
I'm sorry. Who was the young lady who just finished speaking? I know she said she was 80. What was her name?
Miss Huey, Miss Esther Huey.
You met her.
I absolutely love what you said. I absolutely agree with what you said about our young people. I'm 52, and I know about the history because I was taught. I have three children, 30, 32, and 27. They know about the history because they were taught. And it wasn't the schools that taught them. It was me.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Mm-hmm. In order for this country, for black people to not fall completely off the cliff, we have to teach our children about our history. The narrative has been created. As they grow up, they hear a different narrative. And I think that we have a responsibility to create the narrative so that they will be able to teach their children. It is difficult for people to stand up and take our young people seriously when they don't look like they're serious. It's difficult for people to take our young people seriously when they don't behave like they're serious. It's difficult for people to take our young people seriously when they don't speak and articulate like they're serious. And so the teaching, there's been a disconnect in the teaching. And I think that we have to start there, because it's easy for me, being 52, to sit and listen to you, and I admire what you said, and I can connect to it because I learned it, and I wasn't born during that time. I was born in 69, but I learned it. Children who are born today, they're disconnected from it, and they don't think it matters. So before it's too late and they get to be older and they don't know to teach their children, we've got to take the bull by the horns, and we've got to meet them where they are and bring them to where we want them to be. Those are my comments. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
Thank you, Laquita.
She didn't get that from me, y'all. I'm telling you, she's on. She didn't get that from her dad. I can't claim that. I wish I could, though.
Mm.
Okay, so let's go to Reverend Pride.
Okay.
Yes, want to mention, first of all, that Pastor Kenneth Johnson's wife passed away the first part of the week here in Yakima. He's a pastor of Grace Temple Church here in Yakima, and she died of the virus. So we want to remember that family for sure. I asked the Radio Land on Monday to pray, because I was on a phone call with the committee and all, and I got off the line, and she died that same
evening.
But anyway, I want to just move further than that. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and I used to play right there in the Mallory Hotel parking lot where Dr. King was killed. And I can remember when that happened as a boy, being there at the time of that. It was truly a shot that not only just heard in Memphis, but it was heard around the world. My uncle was, back then, they were called garbage men. And I never will forget Uncle Alfred coming home from one of those meetings where Dr. King and others had met, because he was coming to Memphis. And he was a big man, I want to say maybe 6'5", huge hands. And he had tears in his eyes about how they were treated as garbage men back in the day. Now they call them sanitation engineers, but back then, that's just what they were. I feel, and I'll just go quickly because of lack of time, that we need to go back to the old-time way. I have been going over in my own thoughts and mind, being 74, a little younger than Sister Huey, praise God, and I have thought to myself, what will it take for me as a senior to be able to address the issues and concerns of not only just black people, but of society as a whole? And it came to me just recently, over the last year, that what we've done is we've gotten away from the old-time way. And we need to go back to some of that. We've gotten away as far as the spirituality. Very few of us as black people go to church. very few of us as black people, especially the younger generation, even care in terms of who God is and who Jesus is. And I believe that's a piece, even Yakima, that we've gotten away from. We got a lot of stuff here in this valley. But you know what? Spirituality, we're walking dead men bones. And I believe unless that piece is addressed spiritually and religiously and non-denominationally, unless that's addressed in our society, this virus that's plaguing our land and the world, it's not going to stop. But I believe what the Bible says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will heal their land. I will hear their prayers, and I will answer. Unless we put that back into place in our society, worldwide, it is not going to get better, my family. It is only going to get worse. Like you said, preacher, you sound like a prophet of doom. It's in the Bible. And so I'm going to leave off there and leave my time for others and just say this quickly. I was at the hospital here in Yakima here about 6 months ago visiting some folks that was on one of the floors there. Had a young man with me. As we got off the elevator, I looked at him and I said to him, and the ER was full. Every floor was full. Every bed was full. I said to him, if Jesus was here right now, which Dr. King, we know he had Jesus in him, what would he be doing? Uh-huh. What would he say? What would be his his walk? And I said to this young man, and I say to us today, he would be doing just what we're doing right now. Nothing different.
Right.
He would be looking for some place up in outer space to all of a sudden try to get to run from or to get away from what's happening right now. He would be doing just what we're doing on this program, Brother Parks. I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you that this is only a stepping stone. This is not the end. This is a stepping stone to bigger and better and greater things that we have to do, because Jesus would want us to do that even now at this time and age in our society. Right. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. You know, and when y'all preachers start preaching, man, I be waking up. You know. Okay, so now we're gonna go to Miss Gutierrez. She is a farmer, city council person representing my district, our district, and I'm telling you, when she got on that, I see so many improvements over here. I mean, like the city actually came back by and picked up garbage, okay?
Wow.
Everybody around here, and then I have city council people telling me when I complained, you know what they were telling me? You out of move. Hell, we done bought our
own
this lock, stock, and barrel. You out of move.
There you go.
You know, but she came in and she did a wonderful job, and she has the city council person now representing this district. She has her ears, so, and those of you should know that I'm holding her feet to the fire. You know, she got some big she got some big feet to step into too. Okay, so without any further ado, Dulcie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mr. Parks, and thank you to everyone else as well here today. It's such an honor and privilege to be sharing this space with you, and that was such a lovely introduction. I know we only have a little bit of time left, and I just mostly wanted to be able to really honor and show my respects to the work that's really been led and trailblazed by our black leaders in this country. And one thing that really stands out for Ms. Huey, from what she said, is that, you know, the nation needs to be saved. And from the perspective of someone, you know, I was born and raised here, but my lineage, you know, is from Mexico. And so I've seen that the black community, especially black foundational Americans, foundational black Americans, have really been saving this country since the beginning of its origin. and have really served as probably the strongest moral compass that has not only made this country, you know, that more perfect union with time, and there's still a lot of work to do, but has also enabled people like me and my relatives and other folks that are disenfranchised or oppressed communities to also be able to enjoy rights that were supposed to be granted to us by the Constitution at birth. And so I want to thank the community, especially here in Yakima. I really don't have to look any further to see the impact that has been made by the Black elders in this community that have allowed someone like myself to be in this role and to be supportive. And so I want to thank you, but I also just want to say that we're going to continue to try to work hard to create a multiracial, multicultural democracy, one that respects everyone's voting rights. And the VRA, the Voting Rights Act of the 1960s, that was intended to protect the Voting Rights Act of Black people in the South who were being intimidated, and even in the case of Mr., you know, Medgar Evers was even, you know, murdered for voting. We want to make sure that that law is protected, that people will, that law will not be watered down, that all of the sections continue to be leaned on, and the communities of color, you know, Black folks, Latinos, and Asians have all benefited from this. And we want to make sure that they continue to have those protections extended to all communities, because the Bill of Rights, you know, has 10 amendments, and two of the last ones are really for the state's rights, but the two first rights are supposed to be, you know, for your, like, an individual having the ability to speak or bear arms if they want. But we know that our rights to speak and say our peace of mind, as well as our rights to bear arms, is not the same as, you know, our white counterparts, our white brothers and sisters doing the same thing. And so we don't have to look very far beyond the Kyle Rittenhouse case. We know that we don't have the same protections to our rights. But the other six amendments of the Bill of Rights have to do with crime, accusations of crime, the legal system, the justice system, and we know that there is so much more still to do to improve those the justice system, and that's six of the 10 mm-hmm. amendments of the Bill of Rights. So we have so much work to still continue to do, and I want to say that, like Anthony Peterson said, you know, a lot of us have the privilege and the honor, really, to be able to build off of the foundational bricks laid by Mr. Parks, by Mrs. Huey, by Mr. Pride, Mr. Reverend Trimble, and of course, the great and late Martin Luther King Jr. And so I just want to thank you all again for this opportunity, and know that we are trying to remain as much in solidarity as we can, so that we could all advance as a community here, with knowing that really it's Black Americans that led that way for us. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank you so much. Yes,
this next
thank
sister,
you.
She really don't need no. She don't need no introduction. You know, I've been working with her off and on for maybe 5 or 6 years in some capacity or other, and she seems to be at the table everywhere, okay? At the table everywhere. I don't know whether she got that from Anthony or whatever, but she is now on top of everything she's doing. She's taking her time to run the Yakima County NAACP, and she's doing excellent. Now, the reason I wanted to bring you on last week is because I want to appeal to everybody on the live. You ain't got no membership. Go get one. Go online. Go online and get a membership, because the membership helps support what we're doing. You know, and if you're not from Yakima, if you're from wherever, go online, get a membership, connect that to whatever state you're in or wherever you're at, okay? So we should tell us and stuff what you did. And after you finish, I got this thing I just got from the president and CEO that you probably got the same message. So go ahead, Risha.
Well, thank you, Sergeant Parks, actually. Thank you, Inez, for continuing do this, and for honor our dear departed sister, Sharon. So I was born 10 years after the death of Dr. King. I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and the truth of that does not escape me, that I come from a city where John Lewis and others did a very powerful sit-in that helped change the world in America. That fact's not lost on me to see how far we've come and, oh, my goodness, how far we have yet to go. And what motivates me is I come from a city of legacy. And I grew up, I wasn't allowed to have a voice. I wasn't allowed to participate in social justice or politics or even have an opinion on that. So when I was 31 years old, I told myself, I'm a grown behind woman. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm a grown behind woman. And I can use my voice to not only speak up for myself, but to speak up for other people who are afraid to use their voice for whatever reason it is. I have come from the school of hard knocks, as they say. You don't look at me and think that, but I have. And I have taken the fossils that I was handed with and worked myself off to become the lady that I am today. A ruby among rocks is what motivates me every day to try to become that ruby. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I want to leave this community and this planet in a much better place than what she was born into. And so I started off volunteering, oh, my gosh, maybe almost 20-something, not quite 20 years, maybe like 15 years ago. And it feels like a lifetime away. And I started from the bottom. Now I'm here because not only have I started on a small scale with the community, but I got to actually fall in love with the people in Yakima and Yakima County. And so in 2021, when we were busy reeling from the first year of COVID-19, the NAACP Yakima continued to make sure that we helped our community. We hosted virtual meetings. We increased our membership. We had new people come into the organization who became chairs of committees. We participated in events with the YWCA, like the Stand Against Racism chalk art event. We had learning sessions with our congressional representatives. I write letters to my congressional representatives every now and then. I'm sure they're probably sick of hearing from me, but I will write them an email in a minute if it's something that I feel like I can use my voice to help with. And we also had a fantastic Juneteenth event in the park here in Yakima. It was socially distanced, but it was attended by some of our city leaders, our county leaders, and our distinguished elders in our community. And I never want us to leave our elders in our community behind, because we, like Anthony Peterson said, we are standing on the shoulders of giants, and they have helped pave the way for us. And so now I feel like it's up to Gen X to come out of the shadows and start making our voices heard. And we also had an affordable housing webinar. We had a town hall with the Northwest Justice Project to help people learn how to expunge their criminal convictions and vacate some of those convictions off of their record. In 2022, we look forward to hosting our very first digital fundraising campaign, and we want to utilize those funds to help pay for an externship with the NAACP Yakima office. And that would give an adult who is not in college the opportunity to gain very vital job skills. And that's how I got to be where I am today. I wasn't in college at the time. But I took a chance, and they took a chance on me, and I paid my dues, and then it led to me coming to Yakima. So I would love for us to be able to help someone pay their dues so that they can get a lucrative job and take care of their family and pay it forward. And we are also going to host more town halls this year. We're going to have our youth council training our new youngsters about civics and leadership. And we're also looking forward to celebrating Black History Month and Women's History Month and keeping our city council, our county commissioners, and our congressional reps accountable. And I hope that someday I will have the chance to possibly run for office. And if I don't, I want to help somebody to do it because, like I said, I want to use my voice to help other people use their voice. And if that's behind in the shadows, then so be it. But I will be, pardon my French, damned if I let my whole life go to waste not helping the next generation. So I think with that, that's what motivates me.
Wow, thank you. You sound like my daughter and stuff. But anyway, we appreciate you, you know, because that's not an easy job. I did it for 15 years. It's not an easy job, you know, and you standing still and you're sending the message and stuff, and that's what the NAACP is supposed to do, send the message, the big dog and stuff. If you ain't got no big dog, ain't nobody going to hear you, you know. So, hey, thank you so much. Okay, at this time, we got one caller. We got one caller on, Inez.
We have Rashumba Clark. She's on our team for Let's Do It Radio. She has joined us, and let's see if she'd like to say anything. Rashumba?
Okay, hold up.
Okay.
All right. I'll just take 1 minute. I'll be brief. This blog talk radio show, it's not MSNBC, CNN, or CBS, or anything. The attempt of this show is to try and reach people on the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find out what they're doing and keeping it real with Sergeant Parks. I just want to talk to people.
Right.
What are you doing? Because maybe we can use it here in Yakima, you know. Or we can come together to have something. And it's not for all us old folks. It's for to try and get young people and stuff involved so that they can be able to navigate this thing by themselves. You know, like Ms. Hughes said, ain't nothing going to happen unless we make it happen. You know, so I just wanted to say that. And if you guys can just this number, keep this number. I never tell you before we end the show that what is taking place with the show. And thank you again, Inez, for keeping this thing together because I don't know what I would do. I got so much time at home. My wife, when she come home, I need to be gone or doing something. But anyway, thank you. Thanks to all the guests that came on. You guys give your time. I'm going to be moving times, though, because 3 o'clock, most of you guys are not even home, so I'm probably going to be moving to 6 o'clock or somewhere around there, but I'll keep you guys in touch. Hey, and I love everybody. Mm-hmm. So, Miss Inez, let's get with Miss Rumba so we can take it home.
For Simba? Okay. And the number is 845. Hold on, 845-241-9985. So tuck that number away because we'll have shows throughout the week almost every day. Hopefully starting at 6 p.m. Pacific so that more people can join in. But at 9 p.m. Eastern so that we could have a larger crowd and have more people join in on the conversation. Again, that's 845-241-9985. And go ahead, Rashumba Clark, one of our newest members to be joining us. So go ahead. And the question that Mr. Parks posed was, will we ever see justice and equity for all, and why are we still marching? So if you'd like to comment at all on those two questions.
Okay. Well, yes, I think in time we will see it because justice for all is another understanding of truth prevailing. Truth must prevail. And so each generation has had to push the ball further it's just right now it's our time pushing it forward, and we can't sit down, we can't relax. Marching is one form of it, you know, but we must have more creative ways to do it, because the system mm-hmm. that be has more creative ways to distract us from our duties. Our children are being distracted through the technological ways of TV, medium, mm-hmm. you know, not mm-hmm. even the children, mm-hmm. but the adults too. So we must find
Everybody.
Creative ways
mm-hmm.
to bring them back into thinking inwardly, because what I've come to understand as an elder, after a while, when you're young, it's an outside thing. You're being distracted outwardly. But as we age and get older, we understand the power is an inward thing. Inwardly, the spirit speaks to us. Inwardly, it tells us what to do. So the inward job is what we need to show on the outside so our children could learn how to find a little peace and quietness and settling in. Because the truth was never lost, just hidden mm-hmm. in camouflage. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
right.
in my time, okay. my duty is to continue to do my part. And I love history because history, mm-hmm. I think we all should love to some level or another, because not just the history of a country, but the history of our own personal lives, our grandparents, our parents, mm-hmm. what was their story mm-hmm. like? So once we understand right. their story, then we get to understand the story of the country as a whole. And we could measure it to today. I find that most of us spend our time watching the media. You know, look at all the movies you can watch on Netflix, Amazon. So where is our minds? Are we letting our mm-hmm. ancestors down? So because, let me just tell you, the system was built on the backs of black people. Mm-hmm. It was built mm-hmm. on the shoulders of our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And, we, you know, it's easy for us to say that we've made it, we're comfortable, we go to our home, electric garage, you know, TV, you know, automated everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to mm-hmm. remember the generation that paid the price with the whip. Huh? The lynching.
Right. 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 Right.
So those are the things. So mm-hmm. And those aren't being connected in the schools. You see,
Amen.
Because, you know, we have to understand that, you know, if you had that in the schools, our children would know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
where is our Saturday school? Where is our ability to teach? Because the church played a very big part through all those times.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were the ones to connect the dots as to why we must keep working forward. I wouldn't even say fighting, just pushing forward. Because mm-hmm. until everyone becomes one with the truth, this country will not ever be right. And so
right,
I'm just going to calm down and leave it there.
She got on her little soapbox. Well, that's okay, though. That is okay. Thank you, Rasumba. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Parks, do you have anything else to say?
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just got a couple of texts. And I'm going to be brief. Some brother that I know named Raymond Miller, he used to come on the show. And he says, we continue to march because the job is not yet complete. Dr. King told mm-hmm. us when he left us that there would be difficult days ahead. And they are here now. Everything Dr. King did then, we're trying to mm-hmm. replicate that, and we're going over that to try and fight the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Forces of evil have not slept. They continue to believe that people should be judged by the color of their skin, and we will not mm-hmm. stop moving forward until evil is defeated. We will.
Mm.
We look to the hill. That's what the brother says.
Mm-hmm.
And then one from Dory. Dory. Peralta, she's also in this same clan. She's a Pacific Islander and stuff, and she worked with the census. Dory says it's very simple. You must know what is going on. If you need to be, your vote is the only thing that you got. So if you're not registered to vote, out of all the things that they're throwing up against you now, okay, we can prevail. She said, we can prevail. We have prevailed in the past. We got to get ourselves qualified to do that. We got to teach our kids this stuff. So that was Dory Peralta, one of our colleagues. So that's all I have. Inez, thank you. Thank everybody and stuff for joining the show. I'm going to try and keep
thank
my
you,
show
thank
at about
you,
1 hour. So love you, sis.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to each of our guests this evening. We had Mr. Anthony Peterson, CEO of OIC out of Washington, Reverend Robert Trimble, co-chair of the MLK Planning Committee, which has been going for 37 years. We also have Reverend Pastor Willie Pride. He is the pastor of Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church out of Yakima, Washington. We had the lovely Miss Risha Crosby, the president of the Yakima County NAACP and a former president of Yakima YWCA. And we also had Miss Dulce Gutierrez. She's a former Yakima City Council mayor, and she spoke eloquently on you know, her heritage and how we could come together. And she's a current member of the NAACP. We had Miss Laquita Parks, the daughter of Sergeant Parks, and we had Miss Rashumba Clark, who is a poet. I can't remember where she's out of, and you're out of where again, Rashumba? Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
California.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And so you'll be hearing more from her throughout the weeks as she'll be coming on as a guest or as her own co-host. So I just want to thank everybody. Yes.
Tell them where you're from. Tell them where you're from.
Oh, who I am? Oh, yeah. I always forget that part. My name is Miss Inez. I was getting ready to say that. You know, I'm on here, you know.
Okay.
I am out of Tampa, Florida. I am a fashion designer, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Valku Designs. I own my own fashion design company. And so since COVID, I had to go out there and be an entrepreneur. So if anybody needs anything, you can always contact Mr. Parks or what have you, or me through On Ice Valku Designs. But we want to thank each and every one of you, all of the worldwide Let's Do It Radio listeners, for joining us this evening. So please stay tuned as we bring more thought-provoking information, questions, and those in the know to Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks on Thursdays. Check Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, because that's how I try to get things out there to everybody so that you know, they can know about what's going on. And if you have any questions or anything, 845-241-9985 is the call-in number for our shows. We're going to probably move them, like Mr. Park said, to 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern so we can get a more roundabout group of people. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And our questions to you, why are we still marching? And who are we marching for? And will we ever see justice and equity for all? So you can make your comments in the chat room as it is open always. And we want to thank each and every one of our guests for the evening, Sergeant Parks and me, Miss Inez of On Ice Valku Designs, as we leave you with John Legend featuring Common with Glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
yeah.
Glory,
glory,
oh.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon.
formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition enough. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be out, it will be out. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, no.
Glory, glory.
Oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, and we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh. We'll cry glory, oh glory, oh.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
I should have introduced Sergeant Park's daughter better than I did. Laquita Park, she is the owner of Pay Pro V Publishing Company. She's a very eloquent speaker. I mean, she's just on top of her game, and I just love her. And so she's more than just the daughter of Sergeant Parks, but she is a woman who holds her own very well. So we want to thank her for her talents, and if you ever need any publishing, please, she's out of Jonesboro, Georgia. So we thank each and everyone again for joining us, and we pray that you have a good rest of the week, and look forward to joining us throughout the rest of these weeks on different programs. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. Have a good evening, and be blessed.